When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Adjacent. You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
It's crazy to think we've been doing a pod for almost a full 3 years. It's going to be 3 years in March, which is crazy. But we used to do some wild times. Like, we used to have some where we recorded at like 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. We had some that we did like 1 in the afternoon. We had some midnight pods.
Did we start? So, yeah, we started the pod like during the pandemic then.
It was March of 2021.
Oh, okay. A year after kind of everything kind of.
Yeah, but it was like we were still kind of back into going over people's house, and you were still kind of going outside. Mm-hmm. So like we used to record the pod at random hours, mm-hmm. and then what happened was when I was on the beat, that was cool. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I don't have to be at the ballpark until 3. Well, I got all day to record, mm-hmm. or. Well, you didn't get off until late. And then I said, I could do the pod after a game.
Right.
And Jason was like, well, I'm off in the summertime, so it don't really matter. And then once I got the TV, it was just like, well, that rules out the day pods. Mm-hmm. And then the night pods are kind of wild because it's like, I don't know if after talking all day on TV, I can do another 90. And we were doing 2 hour pods back then.
Yeah, we were not the most efficient.
We've got
we were like just saying everything and then we'll
dog. Go back. Yes.
And add it in later.
We were definitely in, nah, we need to get all this out on tape. Now we're like, nah, we're gonna be really efficient with this 75 to 90 minutes that people are tuning in. I think we're better for it as a podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I love those old episodes. Like, I think there's some absolute gems mm-hmm. in the first 2 years of pods. Mm-hmm. Like, Meat Peaks episode, legendary. The stimulus check episode, bro, mm-hmm. remember that? That's how far back that was. Like,
going to jail for those, for the PPP.
Oh, yeah, PPPs. Yeah, no, people going to jail. People going to big jail. As they should. Like, you thought you were going to be scamming during the pandemic.
And we
What's up, Big Dog? Big Dog, we used to play for the Bears. Josh Bellamy.
Selfie stick.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yo, Josh Bellamy not only had stone hands, but he was a scammer.
Yes, he was.
Man. It was like, get this money entertainment. Come on, bro. Yeah, they was going to get your ass. Yeah, come on. They was going to get your ass. And get this like, money entertainment is crazy.
You know, they was going after the people, like they're going to eventually get to everybody, but they're going to start with the people that took out the millions, that borrowed the millions. And you don't think they're going to come back around and be like, hey, Big Dog, where your employees at?
So I had a buddy. Apparently, it was really easy to do. Not that I did anything, but like I know people that
Lawrence,
who were being helped.
Did they get a PPP loan for House of L?
Yeah.
No.
Oh man, we should have gotten. We should have done damage. What?
No,
smooth mill for House of L.
I was very aware of how this could go badly.
And on the back end?
Yes. I was very aware of that. And I was like, not the kid. Not going to be me.
Because here's my thing, Tone. That's back when the pod got started, where everybody was getting the PPP loans and stuff. Yep. And me and Jason could have been out here like New Heights.
Yep.
The Kelsey brothers had all the technology and equipment off rip.
Like, yeah, these are dangerous times, man. You gotta read the fine print. Like, they expect you, it's a loan, not a grant. They expect you to pay that back. So you gotta understand.
As a business owner, were you intrigued by the idea, the premise?
Absolutely. House of Bell is a black owned business.
Mm-hmm.
That was true. Starting a year and a half in when the pandemic started. I mean, mm-hmm. Come on. It was definitely tantalizing to think about the opportunities that may have been afforded a young black man like myself, young poor black man from Chicago South Side.
I'm not going to let you do that. Yo, me and Lawrence would have been down at Adriana first in the summertime.
95th Street would have never seen nothing like that, man.
Beverly, we was going to tear up Beverly.
Come through.
Would have been right Adriana first, then we going to take our ass over there to the original House of Pancakes.
Hey, isn't it 100 degrees today? Not in this fur, it ain't.
Nah, we could have been going crazy off the
I'm real now. Icy right now.
Listen, Lawrence would have just, is that 1500 just fell out of my pocket? Oh man, that's crazy. You know what? Go ahead and keep that, sweetheart.
You that's can just you. Keep that. That's small you. Light work that we got. You know,
go get yourself something nice.
These PPP loans, man.
But that was the funny thing about it was like it's in the name. Right, yes. the loan part is in the name, so you're telling people, or you're hiding. Well, oh, did you get that PPP loan? Oh yeah, man, I flipped that, man. It's free money. I'm like, but it's loan in the name, my guy.
Okay, so Tone, if I were a lawyer, one of the dumb arguments that I would make is, well, you have to remember that at the time that this was going on, the government was actually giving away free money to people that they didn't have to pay back. And my client perhaps got a little carried away and thought that this was more of an assistance program than a loan program.
Your client borrowed $5 million.
Your Honor.
Yeah, the $5 million, I didn't think I had to give this back is crazy. But I feel the argument. I feel the argument, counselor.
I'd have got my Lionel Hutz on, man. I've been out here like trying desperately to keep my client from going to jail. Get them hours up.
I got a buddy who owns a restaurant out east, and he said it was easier to get the PPP loan than it was to get the loan to start his restaurant.
Yo, I mean, look, usually restaurants and bars they almost always fail. So I'm not surprised that would be the case. But it's funny, like I think 2024 is actually going to be a year of expansion for House of L.
Okay, I think we're gonna
that raise coming, Tone. Yeah, we doing well.
I think you guys might be sacrificed for the greater good. No, I'm kidding.
Man, that's crazy.
I think I'm going to move in some other spaces. So I've been researching it a little bit, and like the idea of I was going to buy a piece of property, and I'm like, wait a minute. Couldn't House of L buy the property? Couldn't House of L get the loan to buy the property? And it turns out, yes, it can. So that might be a thing that happens in 2024. So I've been looking into it. But yeah, and people that thought them loans weren't going to come due, I don't know what to tell you. Like you got to pay that money back. I'm wondering if folks thought, one, was it the free money? And two, did they think, oh, you know what? When Biden get up in there, man.
He's going to be like, nah, it's cool.
It's going to be like the student loans.
Right. Student loan forgiveness, not PPP loan forgiveness. He's like, it's all loans. It's all the same thing. Just forgive all of it. These are the Box hands.
You don't make me mad. don't make me mad. Cause Joe ran on. Hey, come on, college kids. I know y'all went to school and y'all got them loans. And if you vote me in there, y'all ain't gonna have to pay them things back.
He tried. I will say that.
He tried after. At first, he was like, I mean, we gave y'all a year.
Look, I know
that came out of his mouth. I said, oh, he got us.
I know some people that slipped in under the wire and got some things like taken off their bill, and I'm happy for them. I'm really mad at my generation, fellas, being part of the chorus of people that were like, oh, we had to pay for college. So they like, why would you want that? Like, like, just let those people have free college. Like, that money gone. That money been gone for you in your college career. Let it go. Let these people go to college for free if they can.
That's why we're trying to get y'all up out of here.
I know.
Any chance we get y'all out of here, bro.
But you know what? But Lawrence,
slip and fall.
Lawrence, your generation
X.
X, right? And who was before you? Was that boomers? Boomers.
Yeah, Gen X's parents are boomers.
So somebody brought up the premise, and I don't know if it's true or not. I didn't fact check it, but it kind of made sense. I don't know if you guys saw the story about the two airplanes crashing in Japan.
Yeah. I saw a little bit of it this morning.
So somebody was like, do you know of anybody that really wants to be like, or even in passing conversation, like, man, I really want to be a pilot? And I was like, no, not really. And I was like, where do you think the airplane industry is going to go? Like, if all the boomers are the pilots and nobody's getting into the industry, like, what's going to happen to the airplane industry?
I think that a lot of people are going to get into that industry, especially considering that you have a bunch of people who are piloting drones. Like, I think that the idea of controlling something like that would be cool. Plus, like, if you become a captain, then people make a grip. They get to see the world. Like, the traveling, like, there are still people who want to be flight attendants. So I think there are definitely people that want to be pilots. Now, I heard y'all, was it a couple episodes ago where y'all were talking about Flight? Man, that movie, boy. And you gotta have some concerns. You gotta look in the cockpit when you walk on the plane and be like, hey.
I'll do it every time. Again, I don't fly as much, but I'm definitely, where's the captain? What does he look like? Okay, how old is he? Is he 50? All right, cool, we good. I'm not getting on no plane with a 20-something-year-old trying to fly me cross country or whatever. Like, I'm just
well usually it's you know, you have at least two in there, so
whoever the older one.
The chances are is that you're not going to just have two young people out there. Like, it's like NBA officiating. Like, there's one old dude and two younger people. Like, it's not, they know what the deal is, man. So you don't have to worry that much about it, I don't think.
Tone, to your point about where does the industry go? So I fly a ton. And what I see is there are a lot of pilots who are in the millennial bracket, right? They're also a lot of women flying these planes, right? And early on in the airline industry, they were just pushing women to be flight attendants. Now you got ladies flying the planes, and I think that adds to the group of pilots that you
will see. The hiring pool, yes.
For sure.
Great.
Awesome. In the future.
Awesome. That's a big
one. Are you ready to give that cancelable take that you don't want women flying you around, Tony? Is that what you getting ready to say?
Oh,
that
no, no, no.
I was not going to say it on this podcast.
I was worried about the industry as a whole. All right. I have never heard of anybody, man or woman, that said they wanted to be a pilot. And I was concerned about the airplanes. You know,
Russ, you know that Tony thinks that he can't be canceled.
That, you know what? I thought about this week. I'm glad that you said that. I don't believe that anymore. He has a life on this earth that ain't his, that ain't his wife's. And he like, if I don't bring home a check because I went and shot my mouth off, my wife go whoop my ass. And so I think that whole you can't cancel me was a single man tone thought.
Okay.
Not a family man tone thought. I think it's over for that.
Eminem joked about, you know, that now he's got too much to lose. Like, he used to not give a, now he's got too much to lose. That's Tony right now.
1,000%.
To be fair to me, have I had cancelable takes, though?
Yes. Even in
press, Tony.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Not that bad.
We invented the elevator music for you.
Tony, you have said stuff in the control room of the Score that
it's
there are times I'm like, is he a comedian? Like,
it's typically in form of a question. It's never in form of a defined statement. It's always in the form of a question.
That's that bullshit Chappelle trying to do right now, too. I'm just asking a question.
Did y'all see his special? I'm surprised nobody's talked about it.
I'm not here for it. Like,
I watched and I laughed like one time and I'm like, ah, damn.
Is it that bad?
We've reached that point.
I'm brokenhearted with some of the choices that he made and I can't let him go. Like, it's one of those things where I heard there's an influencer named Frankie and she's really good. She does a lot of stuff on geek culture and, you know, she was talking about Chappelle, and I thought that her point of view on it was really, really great. And it's similar to mine, where I just like, he meant so much to moving the culture forward, whether we're talking about Black culture or thinking culture. He's high off his own supply for the last 5 years and thinks that, like, even if you think about, like, The skit that him and Rock did after the 2016 election, I think was probably like the zenith of Chappelle. Like, it was so smart and so brilliant. Like, the way that they were talking about it, because it was the way that Black people were talking to their white friends about disappointment at the largest scale of America. And after that, it just kind of became this thing that he's on. I cannot support it. So if it's old stuff that Chappelle's doing, or if I see old Chappelle stuff, I'm cool with it. I'm not interested. I went to go see him. Man, I think we went to go see him in 2018 or 19. And it was one of the first times that I went to a comedy show and they took your phone because it was great. Like, a lot of good people that I know were part of that show. Erica Nicole Clark, who's hilarious, was one of the openers for that show. But I just feel like there's some people that's out here on mess, and I can't, as talented and as smart as they can be, I can't rock with it. So I saw it the other night and I was like, nope, not doing that. Mm.
It's interesting because Cat Williams has always said this. Cat. If you haven't seen his Shannon Sharpe's recent episode of Club Shay Shay with Cat Williams, he took the bazooka to everything. But one thing that he has always said is, if you can't make jokes and make people laugh without hurting people, you were never that funny.
Yep.
Now, I think Dave Chappelle is very funny.
He's one of the funniest comedians in the history of the planet.
Which is why it is mind-boggling that he's just like, nah, F that. Like, y'all not going to tell me what I can and can't. And it's like, bro, just like, this not the hill you want to die on.
Yeah, Russ, it's the defiance part. Yeah. Like, it's the aggressive defiance that has been hard for us to all deal with in a political landscape. There's been a ton of that over the last decade. And seeing one of the best and one of your own kind of take up the same act, but not punching up, but punching down is really, really disappointing. And for a guy, like, I've seen a lot of the interviews that Dave has done, and he hasn't done a ton of them, but the 60 Minutes one, where that one and the one with Jerry Seinfeld that he did, and you realize like the history of Dave Chappelle and the city that he lives in Ohio and the reason that he lives there and how everyone it seems to be fighting for a very righteous cause. And then you see him and you see, oh, like you really aren't even like it, you're really just kind of being provocative to be provocative. And it really feels like a na-na-na-na-na type thing. that I thought he was above. And that's what's disappointing.
I was going to mention that, Lawrence. Just it seems like his cause of it, to me, at least early on, it seemed like, you know, a good point is before when comedy was just able to just kind of be what it is, for lack of a better term, there wasn't a topic that could go untouched. And what he is trying, I think what he's trying to do is still fight for, I guess, that right to say, hey, I should, as an artist in this space, I should be able to go wherever I want to go. But also, I think it needed to be, one, in good taste, and two, where it doesn't feel like you're hammering the same things over and over again, where it feels like now you have a concerted effort to go after a specific group, or and it turns out to be not funny. It just feels mean. And I thought he was treading that line up, you know, towing that line that you need to be in this space, right? You've always had to toe the line in that space. Where's the line between mean and being a jerk and being funny? And I thought he was doing that up until, you know, a certain point where it just leaned toward defiance. And I thought that he was smarter than that. I thought he was a little bit more humble than that. I think that when you mentioned his zenith, I think the attraction was in that point in time, the humbleness to recognize what was going on in the country at that time, and also blend it with the funny. But now it just seems like, again, defiance. I don't like to be told what to do, and not being able to find the humbleness and the funny to kind of go along with, like, hey, you guys didn't like those. It's cool. I got others in my bag, and the confidence, right, to do other stuff. But it just seems like it feels lazy, I guess, now it feels lazy.
I find you know, that argument too is a little bit disingenuous. Mm-hmm. If there were, like, if I don't know, like, if you want to talk about, like, Don Rickles and Don Rickles' style of comedy, where he was mean, and but he's doing it with a laugh and a wink, and that's very different from, well, let me tell you about this group of people. You know, I agree with you to a certain extent, Tony, where it felt like at first he was trying to work through how the world is changing, how people identify themselves, and that he was living in the discomfort of not knowing how to be or what to say.
And that's funny, because that was his truth in the moment. Yeah,
absolutely. But then it morphed. And it morphed to, strangely enough, like a level, for me at least, to a level of privilege of, how dare you challenge me? I'm Dave Chappelle, and I'm a comic, so I can say anything I want. You can't say anything you want. This has been proven over and over again. And I get really, really mad because I go through this with my students on the first day of class. People's lack of knowledge of what the First Amendment says is so fucking frustrating. The First Amendment does not protect you from criticism. It does not protect you from getting canceled. It protects you from the government. That's what it's there to do, so that you can speak out and peacefully protest without there being government interference. So many people, whenever they get caught in the trick bag, they jump to the concept of freedom of speech. And you weren't arrested. Dave wasn't picked up after his show by the FBI or the CIA or the local municipality for what he said. Like, strangely enough, like, First Amendment violations, what was going on with comedians back in the 50s and 60s and going on with musical artists in the 70s, 80s, and 90s where they were being dragged off stage and being jailed for what it is that they were saying.
NWA.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, like even if we can look at like folk singers in the 60s that were, you know, because they were doing stuff that was considered radical, or, you know, people who were brought in front of Congress because they were communists. Like there's, and so when people try to buck on social media and try to hide behind, well, it's my First Amendment right. Yeah, your right has not been violated. You can say that dumb shit all day, but your company can say, we don't want to have people like you working here. Your friends can say, you're a moron and I don't rock with you anymore. That's not anyone taking your First Amendment right away. You can be the dude that's just screaming outside saying God is dead or whatever it is that you want to say. As long as the government doesn't prosecute you for what it is that you say, then your First Amendment rights have not been violated. And there's a very small like window of how that works or what type of speech is not allowed even under the law and the rule of the Constitution. And a lot of people think that they are sliding into that sweet spot, and you're not. You're just being an asshole.
Absolutely correct. Like I don't think Dave is in Andrew Dice Clay territory, because I think that is dangerous to people, inflammatory, all that. But I do think where he's at is, I think because of the involvement of society, I think a lot more people are like, hey man, like we love you as one of our comic legends, but we don't want to hurt a group of people that is growing who also probably love Dave Chappelle.
Yes, and have been marginalized.
Yeah.
And remember, Dice was a character.
Yeah.
Dave is not playing a character on stage. Dave is right. Being Dave. And right. I think that he's also been given the benefit of the doubt because he's so smart.
Yeah.
Like, how can you be this smart and this charismatic and this... He understands, or he did understand people. When you've got the ability to look inside the soul of America and ask some really tough questions about life, like what the Chappelle Show did, how we treat each other, people will give you the benefit of the doubt. He earned that benefit of the doubt of, yo, man, why can't you see that what you're doing here isn't quite right? And it falls into similar category with Kanye, where I wonder if there's anyone that can tell Dave that he's wrong. Or else, or do those people just get excommunicated? And it's
that's
sad.
A dangerous place to be when you're a man of power and influence and authority. If you're never wrong, or, you know, if nobody can tell you, hey, you might should probably think this differently, then you reach this a space that, you know, that's not healthy. That's not beneficial. When nobody can tell you if you're doing wrong, and if you won't listen to that,
I should probably go ahead and open the show. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. You've been listening to us discuss our comedy. What would you call it?
Our comedy chops.
Comedy chops evolvement as a viewer, people who love stand. I love stand up, but I think it's changed from the time I was 15 to now almost 30, which is crazy to say out loud. I'm Russ Dorsey. Joining me as always, my man, Hunter Grand, Tony Gill on the boards. Jason Leisure had a work emergency. I think what they're doing at the Sun-Times is covering both sides of Bears-Packers last game of the season. So he was up in Green Bay.
Oh, Lord.
And he wasn't going to be back in town to do the pod until 10:30, almost 11. And I said, brother, don't even worry about that. I will call Uncle Lawrence and see if he wants to hang out with the kids. Lawrence, I heard the conversation you and Layla and Marshall Harris were having before Christmas, where you were just like, yeah, say it. Say Russ calls you old. I was there. I listened. And you're right. I like to call Marshall old. But the only reason I do it is because he's old by age standards, but not actually. Like, Marshall gets after it.
Yeah.
He be running. He be at F45 next to my building. Like, he be going crazy in there. So I only say it because it's funny. I don't say it because I actually think he's... If I actually thought he was, like, old as hell, I wouldn't say it.
No, Russ, I know. I like to.
But the streets don't know. Streets be thinking I'm just... You old ass out of here.
Yeah, I mean, you know. It's... But notice, like, he took offense to the Unk thing, and I was like, no. Like, I don't. Like, of course, like, you guys, like, he totally... And the other thing is, like, for a lot of minority groups, uncle and auntie are signs of respect.
Endearment, for sure.
Yes.
For sure.
So, like, for me, like, you guys know Afia. Like, Afia talks about that. Like, that's how people, older people, are greeted in Africa. In a lot of countries in Africa, if you are of a certain age, you're not Mr., you're uncle or your auntie. So I personally take a lot of pride that you guys will feel comfortable enough to put me in that category. That makes sense.
Unless you're on a basketball court. Unless you're on a basketball court. Somebody call you...
Who got unk?
Yeah, that's...
Well, they don't have to worry about that for me. I'm yeah. Done playing. I was thinking about this the other day because I'm doing this thing with Remy Martin for Court of Dreams, and I don't have a pair of jumpers at all. Like, I have all sorts of, like, walking and running shoes. I have a couple, like, really nice pairs of shoes if I want to, like, rock a suit or something like that with some tennies. But I have no high tops. At all.
So you couldn't even give nobody a quick bucket if you wanted to.
Nope. I'd have to do it in my Brookses, and those are not basketball shoes.
Yo,
you're definitely getting
in the Brookses 100%. 100%. Sheets and Giggles. Sports Jason brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. Go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA to get $23 off your next purchase. It's still that time. Actually, as a matter of fact, it's getting colder than it was.
Yes.
During the beginning of the winter. It's colder now than it was Christmas week. I was running outside Christmas Day and Christmas Eve. Man, now it's cold. The hawk coming in.
Trying to tell people because, you know, I got people in Arizona and there were a couple of days where I was like, yo, it's the same temperature here as it is there. And now I'm not doing that no more.
Yeah, the hawk done came in.
It's still fine. Like, I'm not complaining. Yes. to make it all the way through December with no snow.
That's crazy.
That's good for us. Probably bad for the planet, but it's good for us.
That's how I look at it. I'm like, long term, probably not great for us.
Not great.
I wanted to go for a run on Christmas Eve. It was great. Sheetsgiggles.com/SA to get $23 off your next purchase. Offer brought to you by BetMGM. Get $1,500 back in free betting credit using our promo code adjacent1000. That is adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sports books. This is the last time the folks gonna hear me for the next couple of weeks. I am getting the hell out of here.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Europe.
All right. Wait, so you did that last year, right? Was it a London trip or?
Yeah. So I did a week in Puerto Rico and a week in London. I am doing contract negotiating and stuff. So I needed an extra week here in town. But Friday, when this podcast will be released, I'm going to fly to London for a couple days. Then I'm taking the train to Amsterdam.
Let's go.
For a couple days. And then I'm going to go to no. And no, don't stop. Then I'm going to Paris for 5 days after that.
Russ, you seem to be good at vacations. I struggle with this. Like, I, for the longest time, I've struggled with, like, the concept of vacation. I struggle with the planning and execution of it. Because, you know, usually what people want is for you to, oh, you're on vacation. You're going to go to the beach, right? I can do the beach. I can do a beach setting for like 2 days. And then I'm like, I need to be doing something.
Yeah.
So I like, if I'm going to, like, I really dug Puerto Rico because you could go to Old San Juan.
Puerto Rico is fire.
Yeah. Puerto Rico is pretty good. But I've been to Costa Rica twice, and I love Costa Rica. And if I ever had big, big money, like, that's the type of place where, like, I might have a spot. But it was, like, 2 days, and, like, I was getting antsy. Luckily, there was an excursion, so I ended up going to Nicaragua, and that was cool. Like, but even there, I'm like, like, I don't know what it is, but I kind of need, I need an adventure. And I don't mean, like, going on a zip line. Like, I need, like, something historic or something cool, or someone told me a cool place to eat. Like, leisure really enhanced my Miami experience, because I'm not here to be on the beach, like, sitting on South Beach. But he was like, you should try this and check out this place and go eat here and go eat there. And I walked away being like, okay, now I see why people really, really love Miami. But you, Russ, seem to, you understand the assignment, like, you unplug. And I find that to be an admirable trait of yours, that you're, that you figured out how to unplug.
I appreciate that. It's, y'all know me, I work, right? Like, I'm working and working hard. So at the point in the year, baseball, usually free agency, is kind of over and done with. At least the big boys this year, it's kind of just dragging. And you know what? I don't care. World's going to keep spinning. And it was actually Ken Rosenthal, when I became a national guy, was just like, when you're off, you're off. And he said, it took me too long to realize that. And I'm like you. I love history. I love seeing things. And so I always did the split vacation. It's kind of what my mentality was. Like, I'll go get some warmth somewhere, and then I'm going to go somewhere I've never been before. So last year was London, had never been there. This year, I was supposed to go to London for Cubs Cardinals. Then the company that I work for went bankrupt, so that didn't get to happen. but I had never been to Amsterdam before. And I'm like, all right, I love London. And then I can take the train from London to Amsterdam, spend some time there, see the canals, all that, and then go to Paris for 5 days. Go to the Louvre, go to the Eiffel Tower, do some cool non-touristy stuff. But that's kind of the thought process, is while I am blessed and have the means, yes, I want to do things I've never been able to do before. And my parents did a lot to, like, open me and my brother's eyes to things we had never done before. But see, the world is something that, now that I have the means to do it for myself, I don't want to wait too long, where obviously can't wait for wife and kids. That's going to be awesome. But while I'm single and can do it on my own and not have to worry about, because people are like, you're going by yourself? Yes. It's my itinerary, because it's my trip.
Yes.
And if I just want to say, you know what, let's run down today, I'm going to sleep in, go get a workout, walk around. Or like the first day I was in London last year, I'm just going to walk around the city for 6 hours and see some stuff and get tea and get fish and chips.
I love that. Like, that's, I feel like I've stumbled upon, like, a perfect place for me to vacation. Montreal in the spring or summer is that for me, where there's so much history, but yet it's really familiar because it runs like an American big city. There is good mass transit. You can get around fairly easily. There's a lot of grid type stuff where you're trying, oh, okay, I know how to navigate this. That place to me, I'm so looking for, I think I'm going in either April or May. And I'm so looking forward to, like, getting back there. And I did something that was super European up there in Canada. I took a train ride from Montreal to Quebec City. And those are like two different places. Like, Montreal at this point, is, you don't even necessarily have to speak French. You can speak English and navigate Montreal. Quebec City, they a little more, we don't play that shit up here. Like, you better at least try. Like, that's what I learned about Quebec City. They'll cut you a break, but you better hit them with the bonjour or bon nuit, or fuck you. You know, and once I figured that out, I was like, man, this is a dope place. But Canada to me is so easy and so beautiful like some of the things that I saw just in between Montreal and Quebec City on the train, I was like, yeah, man, I should take the train more often. And that's like a super European thing to do. It's be like, oh, I'll just take a train to another country.
Yeah,
I'll just do that and go see what that's like.
And I think for me, it is a like not going. It's me not going to a Spanish speaking country, right, where I'm comfortable. Now I'm gonna go to France, and I don't speak French.
Yeah,
and that's like
Spanish, so you're gonna be able to like. It was the same thing with me in Montreal and Quebec City. I know enough Spanish that I was like, oh, I kind of know what that means.
Yeah.
So I think that you're going to be okay. I think you'll be more okay over there than you think.
And I, you know, I might find me a little French something to help me out while I'm there.
See, y'all know me. Here it is.
What streets in France? Champs-Élysées. That's the big street in France.
You going to be walking up and down there?
Yeah.
Rue. Like it'll be Rue, like whatever the street name is, Rue. So are you going to make it to Spain at any point? Like you're going to use some of.
So how I do it is after I get back, or when last year it was when I was on the trip, I was thinking of where the next cities I'm going to. So I had a short list of about 15 cities that I want to go to, and got to London. Amsterdam was on there. Seemed like a really cool city. So that was on. And then Paris had never been before. Seems like a big one you got to get to. Also on the short list. Santorini and Mykonos is on there. Barcelona, Lisbon, both on there. What else is on there?
Athens
is on there. Rome.
I have a friend who has decided that they are retiring to Portugal. Like they've made that decision.
Yeah.
And has made multiple trips to Portugal, and from what I'm told, it's dope. And it's another one of those places where you kind of don't have to speak Portuguese. Like everyone kind of does. If you are in Lisbon, you can get by just being able to speak English. So the world's an amazing place, man. And we don't see enough of it. And we probably don't take enough time. Like at this point, you know, I'm 25 years in at the score. I have all these days. I never take them all. And I should. Like it's we had really good ratings. We had great numbers this past winter book. So, you know, there's gonna be a bonus coming my way. And I was talking to my parents about it. My mother was like, "What are you gonna do?" Because they already know that I've done the I'm gonna save some and I'm gonna buy a CD and all the shit that I usually do with leftover money. And I actually, like my mother and I were talking and I actually said out loud, I might do something stupid with this bonus. She's like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "Maybe I'll go to the Super Bowl, like just to go. Maybe I'll hit up NBA All-Star game just to see what the vibe is like in another city." And it was very like liberating to think about. Wait, where is it, Tom?
Indy.
Indianapolis.
Oh, no, I'm not going to Naptown. No, that's all right. I like Naptown. It's all right, but not for an NBA All-Star game.
No. I don't know. They got joints to Indy, but that's not what Lawrence is thinking of.
Indy's a fun city. It's the type of place that you can move to and live, not to visit. Like, even if they had been back in Salt Lake, I'd have been like, you know what? I ain't never been to Salt Lake. Let me go out here, see what's going down in Salt Lake.
But Mormons?
What's wrong with Mormons? What's wrong with Mormons, Tony?
I said, what's up? What's
this
about?
This is where we end this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Both of you gentlemen are both extremely talented in multiple areas. And so I think you guys are perfect to ask this question because I've been thinking about it lately. And being in the business, you kind of think about it at different times. When did y'all both decide that you weren't going to do things for free anymore?
Tone, you want to go first on this one?
Once I became Lawrence's executive producer, that's probably the last time I was doing stuff for free. And I think EPN, a midday daytime sports show, gives you a certain confidence about your skill level. And just, you know, getting feedback and positive feedback about what I was doing from a veteran like Lawrence and then, you know, Mitch Rosen, people who have had success in the city. It's like, okay, I have, you know, reached a certain level now and I can't just be doing free projects, you know, for people anymore. Like either there has to be a conscious decision on my part. Either I'm doing it for free for the love, which I, you know, do, and it's an understanding that my time is valuable and I'm allowing this person or allowing my skill set to be used in this space consciously because I want to do it and I love this person or whatever. But then it switched over to now I need a little something, right? Because I'm at this point, I'm super busy now. And that's only kind of gotten more truer as my career has gone on. So that was probably 2019, probably early 2019 is probably when I stopped doing stuff for free.
I still do stuff for free, you know, like this. I'm just kidding. But I still do stuff for free. But there has to be a quid pro quo on it. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm going to be on someone's podcast, then I expect, as Shannon Sharp would say, restitution. I expect that. But I'm also, like, cognizant of, like, if I ask someone to be on my radio show, mm-hmm. I'm ready to reciprocate. So... Mm-hmm. But they're definitely like stuff where I'm like, there's something that I've been doing that I did for about 6 weeks ago and I haven't gotten paid for it. And the person that asked me to do it is like, well, will you come back? And I'm like, well, will you get the paper right? And if you get the paper right, then we can keep rolling. Like, we're just not going to keep especially when we're talking like big box media companies. If you're talking about, if you're talking about like smaller stuff, I like to be able to lend my name if that means anything to it.
Yeah, like guest hits and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
But reoccurring stuff or
like big projects that are gonna really encroach upon my time. Like, I'm not doing that.
Or use of my ideas.
Yes.
Or anything like that. Yeah, no.
The reason I ask is I was thinking about it the other day, and there was a point where I told myself, you've worked extremely hard to the point where you can say no now. And I was a believer for a long time, especially when I first got onto the scene here in town, etc., where it's like, I can't say no yet. Like, I'm at a point where, for everybody out there, think of it this way. There's two sides of this equation. There is the exposure side and there's the time side, value for my time side. When you're young in our business, exposure is of utmost importance. So when I'd say about 2018, I was really starting to write different places and people had started to hear me here and there. I was saying yes to everything. Hey, come on my podcast. Come on my show. Do this, do that. And then I started writing on the Chicago baseball beat here in town for MLB.com. That's when I started going on Lawrence's show, right? When Lawrence was rocking solo. And that's when I started doing Sports Talk Live and XYZ. Now, this is back in the time when Sports Talk Live had stopped paying people. But in my head, I already knew that I know how many people watch this show.
Wait, were you at least getting the gift card still?
No, this was after Joe's Stone Crab. I was pissed. No, I was heated. But I said, it is of more value to me in my career right now that all of Chicago and Northwest Indiana see Russell Dorsey not only crushing baseball talk, but everything else. So they know who I am. And then I think when I got onto the Cubs beat for the Sun-Times is when I really started to say, okay, I can start to trim some of this other stuff that I'm doing because I got the exposure now, right? And being able to say no, and not on some, I'm better than this thing. But it's just like, my time is valuable. And you don't like to always think of yourself in that way. But it's like, man, like I think about my schedule and what I have going on today and now. It's like, man, I don't think I could do all those different hits and stuff like I used to back in the day. Like I know from week to week, I do during baseball season and a little bit during the offseason, Lawrence and Dan show, right? Might do a pod here. Might do a pod there. If I see somebody out in the street and is like, yo, can I get you on? You know, if I see Jared out somewhere or if I see somebody out somewhere, I might, you know, I'll jump on whatever. But you got to really be my peoples for me to do the pro bono now. And because I just don't have the bandwidth anymore to do all those different things. I don't know also if sometimes people don't understand that you don't have the bandwidth.
Yes.
And that's something that kind of bothers me. Because it's like, yo, I know, like Tony said, I used to do it for the love and I was really starting to grow my brand. And I appreciate that you let me be a part of this as I was growing my reputation and all that. But then it's almost like, man, I don't want you to abuse this because it's like I was doing it a lot and not getting paid at all. And so it's like, hey, even if it's a little something, and it's like, I don't need the bread or anything. But it's like, it's nice for somebody to be like, hey, I will pay you X to come on here or... Like when I started getting paid to do hits on the score, it's just like I wasn't expecting it, but I appreciated it because they valued me this much. And I think a lot of people take for granted people's willingness to say yes. Right? I was like, well, I know I got him in the tuck. He gonna say yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you don't want people to abuse your kindness.
Yeah, I had an almost incident this morning where there's a dude that I rock with. I like a lot. He asked me to do his podcast. I was like, yeah, no problem. And then it becomes like the scheduling juggling thing. And I'm like, pretty much anytime after 4 o'clock, that gives me a chance to get home, get settled. You know, like if I want to change clothes, like all that stuff. And then we can get after it. And he's like, oh, well, you know, this day is going to work out for me. I'm like, okay. Like we can figure out another day. And he said, well, what about tomorrow morning? And I'm like, you know that I'm on the air from 10 to 2. He was like, oh, I was thinking like 7:30. And I was like, yo, you must be outro. First of all, like, I could be sleeping. I'm not, but I could be. Secondly, you know, I do a show at 10 o'clock in the morning. Do you think we don't prep for shows? Like what? It's like 7:30 in the morning. Like, that is quite the ask. And I will say that because of how, like, interconnected the world is, there are less, like, automatic boundaries. Like, growing up, you didn't call my mama's house before 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And on a weekend, like, you don't, and people knew not to call you after, like, 9 at night. And now people just, like, they'll just text you willy-nilly. And like, hey, I'm not trying to get your 3 a.m. text message is asking me like an existential question. Mofo, I'm asleep. I'll get to it when I get up. 7:30.
And
you ain't even paying me?
What my version of doing stuff for free is different than you guys are. Your words are valuable. The information that you guys provide is valuable, which is different for me. Nobody really cares what I say. It's more of what I do behind the, like, if somebody's asking me to edit something or somebody wants to, you know, collab on some like podcast ideas or segment ideas or something like that. Like, that it's more like, hey, I can't really be doing that. Because one, somebody is paying me, that is, you know, feeding my family for the most part, and I need to give all that energy, well, most of it to there. So there's people paying for that time. But like for me, like doing a guest hit is nothing because again, it's not my words on the production end that is extremely, extremely valuable. They have some. I mean, I got some platforms, right, to say, you know, some stuff. But for you guys specifically, I get how that can be kind of like a line that you have to toe as talking heads, that your information is valuable. And giving that out for free, you know, that people should really consider that when they, how they ask, what they're asking for. And also making it more convenient than, man, I need to do this at 7:30, big dog. AM,
and sometimes it's people that should know better too.
Yes,
that's right. Like, I ain't gonna put people out there, but there are some points where I felt like Lawrence was like, Doug, you asked me last minute, knowing everything I got going on. Mm-hmm. I have to be doing it off the strength. Yeah. And I was like, come on, man. I would come through for you. And I wouldn't do it like that. Like, I wouldn't be come up here unprepared. So why are you, mm-hmm. hey man, yeah, like 15 minutes? I don't do the day of thing anymore unless it's like, if Tom said, hey man, can you come do Jay's podcast tonight? I'd be like, yeah, bro, I got you.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I don't like the, hey man, can you jump on this afternoon and it's already 12:30? No, I can't. Like, I need a 24-hour notice unless there is something. Like, if I break something, and y'all,
yeah, that's different.
It's different. But it's like, hey man, can you come on in like an hour? No, I cannot.
Can't do it. Not gonna be able to do.
Can't even do it.
Now, I will say this from a producer standpoint.
I know y'all did see Tony.
I gotta speak up for the fellow producers out there, all right? You know, like something happens, a crazy news story happens, a bigger thing happens. And you need to get a voice on there, a voice that you know will knock it out of the park.
But Russ has already said, like, breaking news is different. Mm-hmm. Like, that's different.
A lot of time, Tony, don't be breaking news.
Right.
And I done got the text from
producers forgetting to book a guest for a topic. And
yes.
Hey, my man. You want
like, to talk do, about I used
the
to
non-movement
do,
of the baseball season right now?
I used to do Ken and DeMond. They hit me. Because that's off the strength, right? If Studs back in the day or Sean Anderson would hit me, be like, hey, bro, can you? I got y'all. Those are my people. Yeah, off the strength. If Tone would hit me, I'd be like, yes, for the love. If Danny Zetterman at 1,000, hey, man, Captain Hoodie wants you on. I got off the strength. But sometimes it's like, I can't do the 9 o'clock window on the score.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No more. Back in the day, probably could. Can't no more.
No.
And it's not because I don't rock with whoever's doing the show at the time. I used to do Lawrence's show. When was the last year you had the late show?
2018.
So I did one of Lawrence's show in the late window, and then it was all the afternoon, the midday show.
Then we had a budget.
Yeah, there you go. and the boy is very grateful.
The nighttime show, we was doing it for favors.
All but, the strength.
But hey, then we got a budget. And then I joined Dan, and then we got a real budget. Where I'm like, hey, pay my people. Like, whether it was you or the Sox Machine people, I was like, hey, my people are coming with, and we paying them. And they're like, all right, cool. And I was like, oh, it's like that now? Cool.
And I'm not, for everybody out there, I'm a believer in this and the other side too. Like, we don't bring people on our podcast and not give them something, because whether it's me or Jay or Tone or Lauren, it's just like, we have all been there on the other side of it. And we understand how valuable people's time is.
It's funny, like a Starbucks gift card goes a long way.
Long way.
You know, as weird as that sounds, like it's,
it does.
It goes a long way.
I appreciated what you did and your time. Your coffee for the next couple of days is on.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, I'll tell you this. If I had a Starbucks gift card from some of these places that I've done stuff, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll come back, whatever. But it's just like, man, and now I got to cut you off.
Now you don't get to be Russ the Diva. Here we go.
And it, you know what? It took me a long, I fought with myself for me to do that, because for a long time, I'm like, man, the exposure is really good. And I don't want people to think I'm a diva.
Yeah.
But the other side of me was like, dog, you've worked really hard and have said yes to a lot of things. You owe it to yourself to have some of that time back to yourself.
Yep. Like, I get hit up from other markets that want to talk about the Bears, like, still. And if there isn't a quid pro quo, like, I'll do it, but your afternoon host is coming on the score to talk to us about, you know, the Seahawks or whatever. Like, I'm just not doing it. Like, I, for my peoples, yes. My man Dave Ross at VSync is like, hey, yes, I'm doing that. But people be fronting, you know? Like, I don't even, like, people hit me up and, like, I don't even know you. Like, because people, producers will pass numbers around and whatnot. And
yeah, Tone.
Yeah. This one dude, like, he hit me up and I just ignored it because I don't even know that guy. And then the host of the show, who I know pretty well, was like, yo, will you come on? Yeah. For you? I don't know, dude.
I don't know your mans. Your mans. I don't know him.
I don't know him. I don't know. I don't even know how you got the number. I'm guessing you gave it to him, but we cool. Just you reach out to me the next time and then hand me off and say, yo, my producer's going to take care of scheduling all of it. I'm fine with that, but I need the ask to be from the person.
I mean, I'm still out here in these producer streets. I got to dry text and dry call people. Cold call, I should probably say.
You better get Ken out here and send us some text messages.
I've also generated a lot of the relationships, right? Like, you know, having to do that, you know, at the score, at NBC, looking for guests. I don't, when I reach out, right, I don't just like, hey, I need you and your information. I'm like, hey, you know, anything you need to promote, you know, anything you want us to promote. Just stuff like that, you know, hey, do I need to put something in the description title of, you know, doing what I know I can do, you know, if I would love to pay everybody, as I know I can't, So finding other things like Lawrence, right? Quid pro quo. Okay, do you need one of my hosts to come on wherever you at? Do you like what? Do I need to pass you on to the television side? Like, I can do that. No guarantees, but I can do that. Like, just other things just to kind of convince people, like, hey, I don't want to waste your time. Like, I want to promote your content wherever it's at, no matter what it is for you, for your time and stuff. Just, just stuff like that, that producers, I think, need to get in the habit of when you're, reaching out to people. If you can't offer them money, there's other things that you can do as a producer and a small one, right? Like, when I was starting out, I started off with the Dean Davis Show with Kenneth Davis and Damon Spurl. Kenneth Davis is now at NBC doing things, right? Like, it was difficult, right? This is a small college show. Like, how do you get guests to come on the small college show? So, you figure those things out and, maybe you guilt trip them. Like, hey, young brothers coming up.
We just trying to make it, man. We out here grinding. Hey,
People used to get me on that because I'm like... Yeah, I don't want to be the person not doing it for the brothers. Because I know...
they be hitting you with people that turned them down, too. Be like, yeah, man, Jim Rose, he ain't even come on. I know you ain't like that, man. I know you a real brother.
No, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. They'll say naysayer sometimes. our guy...
You yes, will say naysayer.
Our guy Eugene McIntosh, Gino, anytime he needs to holler at an athlete, something, hey man, you got time for the brothers, right? So it always makes me laugh because I'm like, hey man, you got time for the brothers. During this time of year, first couple days after the new year, everybody, oh, what's your new year's resolution, man? Oh, man, I'm going to get in the gym, get myself in shape. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to stop spending money on Uber Eats and DoorDash. I'm going to stop doing X, Y, Z, right? I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to meditate or do whatever you do out there. Do some yoga or something. And usually I'm not a resolutions person, right? But I am a goals person. And this year, I was just like, if I had something, choosing one thing that I want to focus on for 24, would it be? So I wanted to ask you guys, is there one thing where it's like, 2024, this is my emphasis. When leagues go, our point of emphasis, right, during officiating or whatever. What's your point of emphasis in 24?
For me, House of L growing is like a big deal. Like, I'm gonna do more episodes, like my
and like and the I'm, old day or even more so than that.
I mean, like, there's probably gonna be 4 episodes a week, but they're gonna be shorter. Okay. I'm gonna play with the algorithm a little bit and see what that does with it, but stuff that's just on my mind, that as a host that has partners, it's not as easy for me to find 10 minutes to talk about a subject that I'm passionate about. Not to say, like, Dan and Layla both give me space when they know that I'm on one, but that's the whole reason the House of L exists, is so I can do stuff. But I think that there are a couple of ways that I want to see House of L Inc. grow. So I'm kind of focused on that I really want to, kind of challenge the entrepreneurial spirit that made me launch House of L in the first place. I haven't really done a video component for my episodes. I'm going to start doing that this year. Tony has convinced me with StreamYard to kind of go ahead and do stuff. Although I am wondering, because I haven't really worked on the editing from Zoom. I guess I could do it on Zoom and then not have to pay anything extra, but it seems like StreamYard is a little bit more user-friendly than Zoom. So there's going to be some experimentation, but I am hyper-focused on growing House of L in a way that it hasn't grown since maybe the second year.
To your point on StreamYard, when we made the switch, I think it was the best thing that ever happened to us. Shout out to Tone for that, one of his ideas. Also, being able to promote with visual, you realize how much seeing the video and adding the link to the podcast helps people listen to the podcast.
Yep.
And so that was big in our growth as a podcast from year one to year two, was that video element of it. Tone?
A couple things that I had in my mind going into this year. One, I've been teaching at my church a lot more, and you know, I know a lot of teachers. Lawrence is a teacher. My dad was a teacher. My uncles are teachers. So I want to get better at that. Two, I want to be a great dad. And like, you know, this will be the first year, obviously, of her life. Her birthday will be next year in October 26th. And, this year. It's 3 days in. Come on. It's like right in 2020, you know, the last year on the top of your face.
I'll give it to you this week, but if you say it next week, we're going to have to correct you.
Like I really, really want to be a great dad. It's all I want to focus on. A lot of it, all of my energy is, you know, I just want to be a great parent. And career wise, I really, really want to go into the television or movie space. Lawrence, we've kind of already talked about it a little bit. It seems like I have this opportunity to pursue that and work on that. It's something that I've never done before. I've only done, you know, audio documentaries. I've never done, you know, a video, a visual one. And it seems like I had this opportunity now to do that. And I want to pursue it. Like, it's kind of like on the list of dreams, right? That, you know, I want to have something on Netflix or be a part of something on Netflix or, you know, on a larger visual platform. So this year, those are kind of my top three that I'm kind of hyper focused on.
I'm excited for those, Tom. I like those a lot. I only had one this year, and I probably could have come up with more, but like I really wanted to focus on this one because it's really hard for me, is controlling what I can control. It is extremely hard for me because, and both of you guys, I guess you guys can both attest to this too. When you're really smart and you want to do the right thing and everybody else is being dumb, sometimes you're like, you know what? I'm going to do it all. But I think the stress that causes, the fact that you can't do it all, and the fact that sometimes you might make matters worse trying to do everything where you can't focus on something that you probably should lend your focus to, it's hard for me. And I think this past year, I really saw it because when you do a lot of different things, like I'm blessed to be able to do, my focus is in a lot of different places. And sometimes for this to work, this has to work over here. For this to work, this has to work over here. And sometimes some of those things aren't controlled by me. And so if somebody not picking up slack somewhere, you're messing up with my flow. And I don't like when my flow messed up. But I have to be able to say, all right, Russ, you have to take care of you. Because you're not going to let yourself down. If somebody wants to not hold up their end of the bargain on whatever they got going on, that's fine. But you won't fail because you're going to always do what you need to do for you.
I'm so happy and also terrified to hear you sounding like me. That's one of my big quotes. I can always count on me.
And it's just like, not in a bad, it's just like, I know this path, I know myself. And it's just like, all right, if I see you slacking, you're going to hear about it. And then I'm going to have to pick up slack. And I just like, I got to control what I can control.
Yep.
Because I had a lot of sleepless nights, stressing out unnecessarily about something that wasn't really my issue, but I made it my issue. And it is something that's probably going to be a struggle. It's going to have to be something that's a back and forth, just because it doesn't make me comfortable when I'm not in control of the ethos. When I don't have everything kind of laid out the way I want it, and I feel like it ain't my fault while it's messed up. That's when I get, you know, I know my mom's like, yeah, control what you can control. Yes, mom. it's just something I thought of this week as I was kind of like, I had decided that for myself, and I was like, it's not some big thing like, oh, I'm gonna do this. It's like, I just want to be able to more. And it's not about being perfect to me either. There could be some things that I might just have to make this work. I'm going to have to do it. But like, I want to be able to do that and say, you know what? I did what I need to do when it comes to this. It's out of my hands now.
I think that's a good goal, man. That's a hard thing to do. It's like, I was complimenting you on vacations. That's a hard thing to figure out. It's super hard to like put that into practice and realize that there's only so much that you can control because you're willing to, you know, jump through fire hoops to get the things that you want. But sometimes like it's not meant to happen that way. And then you figure out something that might even be better than what it is you were trying to accomplish in the first place, man. It's a hard, hard lesson. Like it's a level of discipline it takes to fit into that space of just being like, you know what? Other people are professionals. You let them do their job and you try not to put yourself into an early grave because you're out here trying to do everybody's job. Like, I think about it in the context of sports. A lot of the football coaches, especially the system that Matt Eberflus and Lovie Smith run, the one gap system that they run, where if you hear people talk about it, they tell you, if you get out of your gap, that's on you. And if your teammate then tries to cover for you, they've gotten out of their gap. And then it's like dominoes where now the whole defense is messed up because you didn't stick to what it is that you were supposed to do. Like, do your job and then we'll figure out what happened and we'll get some of this stuff corrected, you know, with your teammate. But you need to do your job and not try to do everyone else's. And that's a hard thing to do when you're really self-motivated and you like getting shit done. That it's a hard thing to let go of an opportunity to fix something when you see it going left. So I wish you a lot of luck on that, Russ, because you've put in front of yourself quite the challenge.
In the terms of sports, right? Like, we've all played sports, been on teams and stuff like that. You know, when you're the leader of the team, it's like you have to kind of worry about that because what they do, it affects you. So you got to find the middle ground of you can't do their job, right? but you have to do the proper pushing or buffeting, right? Like, okay, mm-hmm. Based on this person's personality, what can I do to help them? Do they need me to come down hard on them? Or is this a repetitive issue that keeps coming up that I need to address more harshly? Or do they just need a little bit coaching up? I was one that didn't respond very well to harsh criticism. My parents would, you know, tell you that as well. What I needed to do was the positive reinforcement. That's based on my personality, though. When I was coming up, Lawrence did, a great job of teaching me and coaching me on things. And I know, like, some of the stuff just frustrated him. Missing cues or just a bunch of just dumb stuff that happens in the course of a radio show and spending time, as much time with the person on a radio show, especially young, right? But Lawrence did a great job of understanding my personality because we would talk all the time and realizing what level of pushing and buffeting that I needed in the various moments. Sometimes I needed, hey, man, you need to get your stuff together. That was not great. That was not good. But I felt that he didn't last on it long. He didn't drag it on, didn't yell at me, you know. But then the next time, you know, around where he would use a different method, like, hey, you know, you got this. Clean up. Let's move on with the show. Just don't do it again. We're good. Like, that's what the majority of our relationship has been, and that's what helped propel me. So I was saying in your case, Rush, because so you're around so many other people, and so many people affect you in your show and in your business, that I guess getting an understanding of the landscape around you to know that, one, I can't do your job, but what can I do to help prod you in a positive direction that will uplift, mm-hmm. you know, the group?
And it's like, and I think, Lawrence, you hit it with the, because I'm a self-motivator. Like, I am self-motivated. I'm a self-starter, right? Like, I don't need other things to happen to get me going. Like, I'm revved up and ready to go to get whatever I need to get done. And if I don't see that happening around me, it's like, all right, what the fuck are y'all doing? Like, what are we doing around here? Why are we not revved up and ready to go? Or I'm not a, and my mom's gonna agree with this too, I need it to happen today. Right? Like, if there's something that we need it to happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't work in a business of right now. And that, man, listen, it is something that I definitely struggle with, of us not working in the business of right now. And it is definitely something that I think is going to make me better, but it's something that is going to be an active struggle. So I will keep y'all posted as the year goes on, but I think that's a good place to stop for this week. We like to thank everybody for listening to this week's episode of Sports Adjacent. Lawrence, we appreciate you stopping by as always.
Oh, thank you guys. It's always a lot of fun. I like to catch up, and I want you guys to not feel like you can't ask. I enjoy when I get the opportunity to hang with you two.
Well, we enjoy you stopping by and coming by the kids' table when Jason's not here. Tone, we appreciate you being on the board as always. And we appreciate our sponsors like Sheets and Giggles. Go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA to get $23 off your next purchase. The softest sheets that money can buy. Sheetsgiggles.com/SA. We're also brought to you by BetMGM. Get $1,500 back in free betting credit. If you don't win your first bet with BetMGM, use promo code adjacent1000. That is adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Tone, anything before we let the fine folks go?
Nah, man. Watch out for your baby's blowouts, man. They changed lives out here. I had another one this morning. Ooh, man. Babies, they boo-boo like adults out here these days. I don't know if that was always the case, but...
This is what you signed up for, fam.
Yeah, I think with that, we could catch you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.